We will start our workshop this morning with a short and concentrated questions and answer sessions, provided you have questions. This evening we won't have the normal program, but we will celebrate. You can all bring flowers for celebration and Krishna, your clean dhotis. No, I'm joking. Does anyone have questions which are left? Pujarini has a question. Alexander? No? Sangeeta? Our Matajis have such fast brains always. Our men are a little tired in the morning, no? This is probably good. Save us. Gender balance is required. Good. These three people will put their questions. Pujarini, please. Yeah. Hi, Pujarini. What is your question? That reference where the devotional qualities or qualification is compared with buying qualification, that means wealth, comes from a work of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Godrum Kalyana Kalpataru. That is, this were originally four newsletters which were sent out in his newspaper called Sajana Toshani, the satisfaction of the Sajanas, the truthful people. It was describing Bhaktivinoda Thakur's vision for spreading the holy name. And that is available just across the street. Excuse me? Yes, go to Ruma Kalpataru. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That was quick. Who else was there? Nora? It's like cloud. Nora, I recommend you something. From this question, I can see you have a very analytical mind. It takes a lot of time to explain that in depth and to your full gratification, how material nature influences the mind and how kala, the time, is ultimately influencing everything. This is described in Sankhya. Sankhya is the world view, you know, how do we view the world. And I believe this is taught in the Bhaktivedanta College. You seem to be a good student for the Bhaktivedanta College. But just in brief, matter influences our mind. Because the same properties, or let me say, the elements are earth, water, fire, air, and ether are also represented in their subtle forms within the mind. Therefore, you can see how, for instance, sitting before water calms the emotions, because the element water, and I mean now a river, a lake, or somewhere, is very much connected to the emotional things. What are emotions? They are vrittis. Vrittis are waves on the mind, on the lake of the mind. So if you sit before water, these emotions are there. I know some devotees who were used to water, they need to sometimes see the water to feel complete. I have that feeling very much. I lived on an island for a long time, maybe 10 years of my beginning life. I lived on an island which was surrounded by water, and I sometimes feel if I go to Croatia or anywhere where there is water, I feel very well. And I live also at the bank of water, and my emotions are very... I live with you in the Gora Bhavan, which is the most beautiful place on earth. It is on a lake, and we have our own rowing boat, and I live and work there, and it's an ashram on a lake. So, and very good for the mind, this water. So, how this is, Nora, I could explain. I have studied this at depths. I could explain you. I would need a day, and I would need you to be absolutely rested with your notepad, and you and I would ask you questions. Did you understand? And it's a very interesting subject matter. But yes, matter influences our mind because it's there. The mind has material. It's a subtle matter, you know. It has also the qualities of the gross elements, but in subtle form. How matter influences your mind? You can make an experiment. You can buy a bottle of whiskey, and then drink, and then you can see what happens. No need to do it. No need to do it. That was before you might have done, or you might have heard. Hare Krishna. Yes, but Kala, time, is the ultimate controlling agent, because time is moving, is moving the matter ahead. It's interesting, in the Vedic Sankhya philosophy, it's time who is given a place of control. And Yudhishthira Maharaj says, like a cooking spoon which moves and stirs the potatoes and sabjis around, the time factor is constantly moving us. Now also, another 5 minutes of your life have passed. Yeah? Since you asked the question, I mean. You have grown, hair has grown, processes of healthy digestion have taken place, you know, in this 5 minutes. Cells have been built, and so on. Time is moving you. Hare Krishna. But I'm sorry, I cannot explain in depth. It takes too long, and we have not. Yes, our Prabhu, yes. Our Prabhu says sometimes while chanting he feels like crying, but he doesn't feel any happiness. Should he endeavor to feel happiness? That's the question. If it is not too private, and you would be happy to reveal, why do you feel like crying? What does it feel like? Is it just... Is it... Mm-hmm. It's very interesting to study Prabhupada, a few of Prabhupada's explanation about crying, because I feel in the he took a different perspective than our movement takes nowadays. Our movement nowadays says crying is a sign of disturbed emotions or sentimentality. They say like this, and it is despised at being not good. Opposed to this is someone like Gaur Govinda Maharaj, who says, "I have opened a crying school in Bhubaneshwara." It's a respected member of our society who has left the body, and he said, "Crying school." It's something where you are trained to cry properly. That's what you train. Now, yes, the beginning of that emotion which brings tears to the eye is feeling fallen. That is the beginning. It is a good entry. You are in the first class of the crying school. Now, within that emotion of feeling fallen comes something which you have also done. So you are not only on you have mastered the first class, it's the second class, where you don't cry just because you didn't eat enough or something, but you feel a lack of being connected with Krishna. That's good. That is nice. Now, as you progress in this school, you will feel other emotions entering into that crying. That is not only feeling fallen, not only feeling fallen because you left Krishna, but fallen because you cry because Krishna is there and you want to render service to him, and you are not doing that at the moment. That is a more advanced, that's a very Krishna-centered crying. So there are different levels in the school of crying, and I believe if the crying has somewhere a Krishna element to it, it's very good. I had a god sister from Sweden. Her name was Lilavati, an older god sister, and she cried before the deities, and we all thought, well, you know, oh, these Mahadajis, who will ever understand them? You know, like that. You know, we felt from the male perspective like that. But Prabhupada, and it was surprising for us, he said, that's very good. That's a sign you make advancement, this crying. Huh? Because she cried, somewhere there was Krishna in it. You know, there may be other psychological factors there, but somewhere there were Krishna in it. It's one of the many emotions. Happiness, it may be because psychologically you come from Russia, and the Russians are a little bit melancholic because there is not so much sun in I'm serious, I'm talking psychology here. When in countries where there is more sun, like the southern country, there is more happiness. Bellissimo, that's Italian, you know. Cantare, mangiare, you know. This is a Russian could never say something like this, you know. It's Italian, this. The country of the sun, or Belgium. Belgium will never be like an E. So, Russians means not so much sun, and cold. So, a little bit more melancholic we are in our psychology. Therefore, you may not be as exuberant as, for instance, people from the Balkan countries. I have to tell you a joke, you know, because today is our last day. Once. There was an Italian. He met with a German on a retreat. It was a farm in America, a retreat. So the Italian is talking in an exercise, you know, talk to your neighbor, with his Italian partner there on the, a little bit on the veranda. And the German is explaining very reserved what his feeling is. And then comes the part of the Italian, and he said, and as he talks, he comes closer to the German, because in Italian discussion, you need to feel the other person. You have to come very close, you know. Whereas the German needs 1 meter of respectful distance, you know. If you enter into the meter of a German, you have entered into his private zone. And he feels very disturbed. He will only allow his baby and his wife into that zone, you know. So he's going back to make the proper distance, you know, the 1 meter. And the Italian thinks, I cannot make it clear to him, you know. And he's coming closer, you know. And Hare Krishna. And finally, I mean, it's not really like a joke. It's a real situation I have seen. Finally, the poor German comes to that fence on the veranda where they bind the horses, you know. And he just goes, and finally he falls into the horse situation, you know, horse pile. And we all are conditioned souls. We all have certain things. So when a Russian cries, he has to ask himself, is it my melancholic nature? You know, melodramatic, or is it spiritual? That question you have to ask yourself. But if there is a little Krishna in it, when you have little Krishna, more Krishna will come. So that is how I feel. You must visit the Serbian summer camp. There you will find hot-tempered Serbian that I like very much, because they're very joyful. And this summer we have that theme always in Vrindavan. It will look like Vrindavan there, and we will do things which we do in Vrindavan there. There is a crew of maybe 10 Vrindavan lovers designing every meter of that camp. It will be very, very something. Parrots are already coming from Vrindavan. We want to get monkeys, and but they will maybe not, because they are bridge passes. They should stay in Vrindavan. Good. Varunaji, you have the last question. Yes. Yeah, take complete responsibility for the experience is, you know, with this we want to say, when you go to a retreat, become an active member. That is, take the points which you hear, experiment with them, and gain your own realizations. When we also, when there are exercises which you feel not comfortable with, don't do them. Just observe them. It's your retreat. It's something which we offer for people to discover their own their own life, really, their own strand of life. Like this. I think it's ethically very important to say that. To leave the emotion. Varuna is your name. Varuna, Babu. I'm very familiar with this book, The Art of Chanting, and I like it very much, and it's wonderful. I do not remember reading it like that, but I also don't remember what was there. Prabhupada said, leaving the emotion. It's important when you... But you want to know something, yes. You want to know what to do when emotions are coming, yes. It's very important to know what emotions we are striving for, and one emotion is the feeling of separation from Krishna. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught about, and I think you were there in the morning class. I saw you. There was we gave different references about this. So, if you know what you want, then your emotions, various emotions which are coming and going, will align themselves to this. See, this is the power of Sankalpa. If you know what you want, and I think Banu Nandini will introduce our workshop in a moment about that point. Then if you know what you want, if you have an orientation in your life, then slowly it will happen. For instance, the magic of this chant when you have the first Hari is you know, you program yourself, I want to be attentive to it. And once you do this, I can only tell you, I was surprised this morning again. I chanted for myself in my room, and I was almost all the time with all the mantras, which I was surprised because I don't consider myself a good chanter at all. That's why I try so hard, because I'm not good. And I noticed, my God, it's working. It is a result of trying again and again to bring the mind back to the Hari and then let it stay as long as possible with the entire mantra. So if you do that for some time, attention, which is also a thing of the mind, will come. So if you train yourself, you train your emotions, really. See, it's a little bit like doing push-ups. I think, Manu, you do push-ups? Not so much. When you start making push-ups, you give yourself a goal. 9.5. And then when the 9.5 is there, you are almost wasted. But if you give yourself 15, you will come close to 15. It's just the power of Sankalpa. It's so powerful that even the sport people have recognized this. So you can train anything, muscles, brains, and emotions, everything, if you go in that school. See, that is what I so much want to achieve in these japa retreats. I want to give you practices with which you train. Good. We have to close our... Janavi, you have a question? Yeah, if you have... Yes, yes. But this is the last question. Yes, Janavi. Yes, no, it is not Paramatma, it is Krishna. Because you're focusing your mind on Krishna, I suppose, in this deity form, or maybe in what you have heard in the Leela. And then Krishna may externally be still separated, but because you think of him, he's in the heart. He is in the core of the heart. And he's there fully. As you begin to think more full about Krishna, to think fully of Krishna means you think of his form, his wonderful qualities, and his activities. It's very important. Krishna can only be understood by his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. Then you have a full vision of Krishna. So if you think more and more full about Krishna, he becomes more and more fully present in your heart. Mood of Vipralamba means external separation, but more presence, but present in the heart. And now, Janavi, listen to this, because you're an older devotee, you can understand. Even in meeting with Krishna, the exalted devotees are not feeling totally, you say, that's it, you know. They want him to become more and more present in the heart. Therefore, Radharani says, if I should choose between meeting Krishna and being separated from Krishna, she says, I choose being separated from Krishna, because then he comes from, I see him in all directions in the universe. And she proved that. You remember when Uddhava came with news from Krishna to meet the residents of Vrindavan? He talked to everyone, friends, parents. And at the end, he met the gopis at a secluded place. And the gopi said, you have any news from Krishna? And he said, yes. I have a letter from Krishna. He wanted to read the letter. But the gopis, what a letter from Krishna! They surrounded him, took the paper, and ripped pieces, because they thought maybe Krishna has written to them and their name is there, and then they have the from Krishna's hand their name. So Uddhava, who's a jnani, said, you are very misdirected village girls. Don't be so emotional. Krishna is never separated from you, because he's present everywhere as the Brahman. That was the message, but you have torn the letter. But I remember the letter. Gopi said, we don't want a Brahman. We can't feed a Brahman. We want Krishna, and we want to feed him. And Uddhava says, less advanced, you know. Then he came to Radharani. And Radharani, you have heard, she was laying down because she was feeling so much separation on a bed of flowers, where her body, which was so hot with that mood of Vipralamba Bhava, it's called Maranakya Mahabhav, it's blazing, you know, blazing. She was really apparently suffering, and Uddhava did not want to say, now concentrate on the Brahman. But in his heart he felt like this. Why is she suffering? It's like an ordinary girl who pines in the for her lover when she's separated. That is not spiritual. That's not good. He felt like this. But he expressed it differently. He said, Radharani, you are suffering because you are separated from Krishna. Radharani said, this is very, one Acharya writes like this, has realized like this, that she knew what was going on in the heart of that Jnana Bhakti. And she said, Krishna is, why do you speak of separation from Krishna? Well, he's in Mathura, isn't he? He's not here. Who says? Says Radharani. Uddhava felt cornered, my God. And at that moment, Janavi, listen carefully. At that moment, on the right side of Radharani, Krishna became visible. And they were sitting in the yugal, that means yugal kishore, what do you say? Combined, Radha and Krishna, as a couple, as we worship them on the altar, they were there. Who said he's not here? He's here. Here you can see. For a moment, Uddhava saw through Radharani's eyes, and he could understand that the mood of separation is a very high form of meeting Krishna, being together with Krishna. It's in the world, it's not possible. Your mind can't understand it. So Radharani showed him. And he became totally mellowed up. He said, my God, this is too high. Braj Bhakti is too high. I have no understanding here. I have no right here. I become a little bush. And then the gopis can go and walk near me, and the dust from their feet can sprinkle over me, and then maybe one day I will understand. He could understand. It's very deep. It's very deep. And so Radha just showed Uddhavaji for one moment. And then Uddhava was so chastened. He thought he knows better about Krishna Bhakti than the gopis, the highest devotees of Krishna. But now he was so humbled that he decided to live, and he's there still in Uddhava Kund. And if you listen very carefully as you go to Uddhava Kund in the night when the noise is down and the monkeys sleep, you will hear a few of the bushes calling Krishna, Krishna. That's Uddhava. Yeah? Uddhavaji is there. Do you like also Vrindavan very much? Vrindavan is good. Vrindavan is good. Good. This was the last question. Now, my dear devotees.